Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Making a Psychopath: My Journey into Seven Dangerous Minds is a work of popular forensic psychology by Mark Freestone, a researcher and consultant with experience in psychiatry, prisons, courts, and high-risk personality disorder services. The book examines psychopathy through seven real case studies rather than through a single abstract definition. Its purpose is to test familiar assumptions about psychopaths as inhuman predators, criminal geniuses, or people born without any possibility of change. Freestone combines clinical observation, sociological analysis, and accessible discussion of psychological research to show psychopathy as a varied pattern of emotional deficits: impulsivity, manipulation, attachment failure, and social harm. The book is written for general readers, but also has relevance for students and professionals interested in criminal behavior, mental health, and risk management. Its distinctive value lies in presenting dangerous individuals neither as monsters nor as victims alone, but as people whose histories, brains, choices, and environments interact in troubling ways. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, seven case studies show psychopathy as a spectrum rather than a single type. Freestone organizes the book around seven dangerous minds, using case studies to resist the idea that psychopathy has one fixed appearance. And this structure matters because psychopathy is often flattened into a media image of the charming, brilliant, remorseless killer. The cases instead show variation in temperament, intelligence, emotional control, methods of exploitation, and capacity for reflection. Some individuals are manipulative and calculating, while others are volatile, chaotic, or driven by resentment and impulsivity. This approach makes the category of psychopath less like a label and more like a cluster of traits that can combine in different ways. It also explains why diagnosis and risk assessment are difficult. A person can show callousness, deceit, shallow affect, and irresponsibility without matching every popular expectation. By grounding the discussion in individual histories, the book makes psychopathy concrete without pretending that any one case can stand for all others. The result is a more careful understanding of dangerous behavior, where similarity among offenders does not erase meaningful differences in motive, background, and psychological functioning. Secondly, the book rejects a simple born or made explanation. A central question in the book is whether psychopaths are born or made, and Freestone avoids a simple answer. He presents psychopathy as the result of interaction between biological vulnerabilities and damaging environments. This means genetic predisposition, emotional reactivity, brain development, childhood attachment, abuse, neglect, and institutional failure cannot be treated as separate explanations. The importance of this argument is practical as well as intellectual. If psychopathy were purely genetic, intervention would appear pointless. If it were purely environmental, responsibility and individual variation would be oversimplified. Freestone shows why neither view is adequate. Early trauma may not create psychopathy in every child, and biological risk does not guarantee violent criminality. What matters is how vulnerabilities are shaped, amplified, or restrained across development. This framework also challenges moral laziness. Calling a person evil may express justified outrage, but it does not explain how patterns of cruelty and exploitation form. Freestone does not excuse harm, but he insists that understanding causes is necessary for prevention, treatment planning, and realistic public protection. Thirdly, psychopathy is framed as a disorder of relationships. One of the book's most important contributions is its emphasis on psychopathy as a disorder of relationships. Freestone is less interested in treating psychopathic traits as isolated checklist items and more interested in how those traits operate between people. Lack of empathy, shallow remorse, deceit, dominance, and instrumental charm become dangerous because they distort human connection. A psychopath may be able to read another person's weakness, fear, or desire, but that perception does not necessarily become concern. Instead, it may become leverage. This relational view helps explain why victims are often drawn into webs of trust, intimidation, dependency, or confusion before they understand the danger. It also complicates the idea that psychopaths are always coldly rational. Many are not master strategists. Their manipulation may be habitual, opportunistic, and emotionally underdeveloped, rather than intellectually superior. By placing relationships at the center, Freestone connects private psychological deficits with social consequences. The harm is not only in violent acts, but in the repeated use of other people as tools, obstacles, or sources of stimulation. Fourthly, assessment tools help define risk but cannot capture the whole person. Freestone discusses psychopathy in relation to established clinical and forensic frameworks, including trait-based assessment associated with Robert Hare's psychopathy checklist. Such tools matter because prisons, hospitals, courts, and mental health services need structured ways to evaluate risk. They provide common language for traits such as superficial charm, deceitfulness, lack of remorse, impulsivity, irresponsibility, and antisocial behavior. However, the book also shows why assessment cannot become a substitute for understanding. A score can summarize risk factors, but it cannot fully explain how a particular person developed, how they relate to others, or what might reduce future harm. The danger of over-reliance on labels is that a person becomes fixed as a type, which can encourage fatalism among professionals and fear among the public. Freestone's case-based method keeps the human complexity visible while still respecting the need for public safety. His approach suggests that good forensic work requires both classification and narrative, both measurement and context, because decisions about containment, treatment, and release depend on more than a diagnostic label. Lastly, the possibility of change is treated cautiously, not sentimentally. The book stands out for allowing some room for change without minimizing the seriousness of psychopathic harm. Freestone does not present rehabilitation as easy, common, or guaranteed. Psychopathy is associated with traits that make treatment difficult, including deceit, low remorse, poor emotional insight, and resistance to accountability. Yet the book challenges the absolute claim that all psychopaths are unreachable. Some individuals may develop limited insight, seek help, or show forms of remorse that do not fit public stereotypes. This matters because professional pessimism can become self-fulfilling. If services assume that no intervention is possible, they may miss opportunities to manage risk, build motivation, or reduce harm. At the same time, Freestone avoids a naive redemption narrative. Change must be judged through behavior, sustained accountability, and realistic risk assessment, not through words alone. The book's balanced position is that compassion and caution are not opposites. Understanding a dangerous person as psychologically damaged does not remove responsibility, but it may create more intelligent responses than fear, disgust, or simple exclusion. In conclusion, Making a Psychopath is best suited to readers who want a serious but accessible account of psychopathy beyond sensational crime stories. It will interest general readers of forensic psychology, true crime audiences who want more analysis than shock, and students or professionals thinking about personality disorder. Violence, risk, and rehabilitation. The practical benefit is a more precise vocabulary for understanding manipulation, callousness, impulsivity, and emotional detachment without treating every difficult or harmful person as a psychopath. The intellectual benefit is its refusal to separate science from social history. Freestone shows that dangerous behavior emerges through the interaction of traits, relationships, institutions, and life circumstances. Compared with many books in the genre, it is distinctive because it does not rely mainly on famous criminals or theatrical evil. Its focus on 7 clinical encounters creates a grounded, varied portrait of psychopathy as lived behavior rather than myth. It also stands apart by combining public safety concerns with a measured humanizing perspective. The book does not excuse violence, but it argues that explanation is essential if society wants better prevention, better treatment decisions, and more realistic management of high-risk individuals. If you would like to support Mark Freestone, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.